Welcome back, friends. This is the Good Midlife Podcast. We are back. We took a quick break last week. Now, listen, I'll explain that in a minute. First, let me introduce the room. I'm back. I'm in Louisville. It is Tuesday. It is April 9th, and I'm in Louisville. Richard, where are you coming to us from?
I'm in rainy Indianapolis.
Okay. Rainy Indianapolis. Up there in eclipse country. We'll talk about that, too. We also have with us our man on the ground in Lexington. He is the hitman, Tommy Himes. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, great to be here. Glad to be back. It's always good to see Richard's smiling face.
Yeah, your audio sounds good tonight, so I love that. And I'll just let everybody know, we call him the hitman, even though he has literally never hit anyone. So that's and that's great. We're lovers, not fighters, around here, as far as we know.
And he couldn't come on. It's just like, this is almost like it's our weekly podcast, but it's almost like an emergency podcast because of the breaking news as of Sunday evening.
Yeah. So we wanted to do a show last week live from the beach. Our good friend Shay was going to join us, and that we were going to talk about shenanigans with high schoolers on spring break and our lives as parents. But when you're on the beach with a ton of kids and a ton of adults, logistics gets tricky. And so we were not able to do that. We are going to have Shay on to talk about some stuff. We thought it might even be tonight, but this is not the show we thought we were going to do today. So without further ado, let's get into it. First, I want to thank everybody for listening and watching. We are the Good Midlife Podcast at Instagram. You can follow us there. You can get this podcast wherever you and your friends get your quality podcasts. You can follow us. You can follow Richard at Kenshin Crew on Instagram. You can email us at thegoodmidlife@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook. We're everywhere. Continue to follow us. We're having a great time. We hope you are too. Speaking of Kenshin Crew, Richard is on an eating odyssey this year with his lovely wife, Maisie. They're going through the alphabet. I think we have one or two to catch up on. Did we get E in the last episode and we have H now? Is that where we are?
No, we're on, we did F and G, so.
Okay. So it's, we're on H. Okay.
We just finished G on Saturday. So, it was actually a double G. Who doesn't love a pair of double G's?
Tell me about this double G spot.
Well, we went to, so the weekend before, Maisie's brother, Caldwell, came in town with his new girlfriend, and we took them to the guacamole downtown. The food was really good. The atmosphere was really good. They had a roaming mariachi band, which was a little annoying. So if you're upstairs, it's really loud, and they come around and kind of remind me of the old days of RenCon in Lexington, where the woman would walk around with the flowers or the carnations. And I don't know if they were asking for tips. None of us had cash. So we just sit there and let them play La Bamba. But food was good. Had a little bit of a clunky service with the host. He was kind of a dick. I'll just throw that out there. But the food was good. Then this weekend, we did another G. Maisie and I did it. We went to Goji, which is a Korean, like where you basically cook your meats at the table. And it's on Bardstown Road. It's the old BW3's on Bardstown Road. Yes. Very good food. I think it's owned by the people who own Sapporo. Food was good. I came out of there a lot less than I thought. I thought it'd be easy, $100 meal. Came out of there $60, which wasn't too bad. Food was overall good. I will say this, it's a clunky experience. They don't have a website. You have to call after 5 o'clock to get reservations. We could barely hear our server. It was just very clunky process, but the food was good, so that helps. So we are on to H, and we'll have H, I guess, not this week, coming weekend, but the following weekend. So looking forward to that. Maisie picks that one. So I picked Goji. And we also celebrated my wife's birthday. Shout out to her. Happy birthday, honey. Love you. And she actually picked the G. I picked guacamole for her family, and then she picked the G for her birthday. So
I thought you were taking her to White Castle this year. What happened?
Well, I have W, so we're expecting a White Castle coming soon. So okay, don't you worry.
Okay.
She's going to have a White Castle.
Beautiful. Love it. I'll piggyback on what he said about guacamole. I think it's fantastic. I think it's some of the truest authentic Mexican food you can get in Louisville. Very, very good. A lot of good Yucatan style dishes there. And I love that place. It's really, really good. Haven't been to Goji yet. Want to check that out. But went to that BW3s a lot. And so, but the Goji looks good. Yeah. So excellent. Thank you for the food update. I have nothing for
And a real
you
quick note, I'll shout out to Tommy. Tommy, with the announcement of Joe Bologna's potentially closing in summer or sometime this year, Jim and I had talked about we're going to come up to your neck of the woods. We'll let you know about that for one Joe Bologna's adventure. So yeah. We talked about neither of the wives have been there. So
the good news is Joe Bologna's will continue.
Oh.
It will just be under a different ownership.
Oh.
Good we were know. In there the other night, and he's had multiple people talk to him about buying him out, and it's going to keep on rolling.
Awesome. One of my favorite places in America.
Actually, a friend of Macy's, you know, Macy, when she's home over Christmas, works at a different pizza place, and that guy called about buying it, and Joe told him, hey, I've already had 7 offers. You're more than willing to throw in another one, but it's going to have to be a lot because I think I'm good. So,
yeah, right.
That seems to be the theme of the day.
Yeah, exactly. awesome. Well, I have nothing.
The breadsticks are still fantastic, by the way, in case you were wondering. Drop in quality.
Do they still have the giant fried banana peppers?
I don't know.
Those are really good. Yeah.
The breadsticks are busting. So
I see what you did there. I like that. Well, I have nothing on food. Went to Florida, caught some fish, cooked it up. It was delicious. Hit some Spanish mackerel pretty hard, so that was a good time. Nothing
Did you
really
go to Stinkies?
We didn't. We barely got off the compound. Really, we drove out one day to Seaside and then came back. And that day, Elizabeth and I just grabbed lunch at Pompano Joe's. It was good. Coconut shrimp was delicious, and we ate out one other time. And we were within walking distance of the Crab Trap in Destin. And I liked that place, so we ate there. It was good. Otherwise, we have had a party of 10, so we did a lot of cooking and ordering in. So I was very happy to get back to my own kitchen with all my own devices and spices and all the things. So with that being said, speaking of spices, we got some spiciness coming up. The NCAA tournament is over. We have a winner. We have a loser in our bracket challenge. So congratulations to our winner. He is Patrick Jones of Louisville, Kentucky. He will be getting a little bit of cash after Richard and I settle up as far as how much we've got in the pot. So, Patrick, congratulations. He had UConn winning, and he actually was tied in first place with my daughter, Sophie Noland. They both had UConn. They both had the same number of points, but Patrick was closer on the final game score. So Patrick is your winner of the inaugural Good Midlife Basketball Challenge. And we're all going to be winners of the challenge when Richard's good friend Coleman comes on the show to eat his wings. Then we will all be winners because we'll get to watch that and enjoy that. So, Richard, have you heard from your boy?
I have talked to him. I think he's nervous. He is going to bring his son on, which will be interesting because the agreement in their household was, the son made the picks, and if they ended up losing, he agreed he would eat one of the wings. So this will be a very interesting. We need some hard hitting questions during this show. And I don't know if you saw the video I sent you, but apparently you can get a very large cup or bucket of the wing sauce, and I'm thinking that's how we do this.
All right, that dude got knocked out the first weekend.
He sure did.
He should have to eat 2 buckets of wings for that.
Well, he admitted, he told me, he's like, I'm not going to lie to you. It's like, I didn't pick any of those. My son did it. And I was just like, well, and I texted him the first day. I said, Morehead, somebody really likes hot wings the first day. And he was like, yeah. And that's when he confessed. He goes, well, my son made all these picks. I was like, your son screwed you. So, good time.
We're going to have a lot of fun for that show. So tell your friends. We'll publicize that. We'll let everybody know when it's going to be so you can listen. We'll definitely YouTube that so you can watch the live or the video of it after we do it. So we're going to have a lot of fun. Thanks to everybody for playing. We had over 40 people in this year and thought that was a great turnout. So for our first time trying to do this thing. So because of all you guys, we were able to do it, have a little fun, and we'll do it again next year with something else. We may do wings again. It may be that much fun. So for the real tournament, we saw Connecticut last night take care of Purdue in the finals of this tournament. What are your overall thoughts on this tournament? Did you guys enjoy it after Kentucky was out? Did you guys watch much? I'll start with you, Tommy. I know you watched a lot. We talked a lot back and forth during it. So I'll let you give me some overall thoughts about it.
I watched the whole thing. I mean, I do every year. It's my favorite 3 weeks out of the entire year. And it always sucks when Kentucky gets knocked out. And I mean, you know, I went to Pittsburgh. I was there. I watched us get beat. I woke up the next morning, had to do the walk of shame at the Embassy Suites with all the Oregon fans making fun of me. And I got in the car, I drove home, the games came on, and I kept watching. And I absolutely loved it. You know, the YouTube four games at once thing that first weekend, the best thing ever. You know, four games going on. I loved every minute of it. Please, NCAA, don't change it. Don't add teams. Don't water this thing down anymore because it is the best sporting event there is.
I agree. We talked about that on a show, the last podcast we did. We talked about it being our favorite. What was the best game you watched?
Oh, my gosh. That's Alabama, North Carolina was fun.
That's mine. Alabama... That's the one. I thought Bama, North Carolina was the best.
Bama, Grand Canyon, that game was a lot of fun.
A&M and Houston was really good.
That game was awesome. The
yeah,
last
that was really good.
I can't believe I forgot about that game. That was the best game of the tournament. Specifically the last 90 seconds in overtime.
Yeah.
What A&M did, I didn't think was possible to do. And I felt bad for Houston. That kid turning his ankle against Duke cost them. They were going to the Final Four.
Sure
and
were.
I'm not so sure they couldn't have taken Purdue out. I mean, that Houston team was awesome. So, but
very
yeah,
physical, very good. Yep.
Yeah. Lots of fun. You know, I mean, there was two nights I was up, I think, till 2 a.m. watching games, just as happy as I could be. So,
what about you, Richard?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. That was just like, I was commenting about this last night that I probably should have watched more of the tournament. But after, I agree with Tommy, it is one of the best, it is probably the best 3 weeks in sports there is. I also like the end of the season, like college football just all the way through is fun to me. But after Kentucky bowed out, I was just so just hung over from that and just distraught and just grumpy about it all that I basically threw in the towel and was like, I'm not going to watch anymore. And I realized that didn't help our podcast much, but it just, for some odd reason, it's like this tournament just finally, that Kentucky game just put such a bad taste in my mouth. I just didn't have any desire to watch anymore. So it's not good for the podcast, but it's still fun. And it was funny. It's like, I wasn't watching it, but then like I'd be watching it on my phone, like either highlights, like on the ESPN thing where it's like you see the little buckets going back and forth, or I'd be watching it on the YouTube app. I mean, I catch here and there. I don't have a complete picture, so I'll let you two talk more about that than me. So,
well, I watched a lot. I love it. I didn't watch as much as I did when I was 20, you know, but we watched a lot in my house, and it helps with the stepdaughter at Purdue. So we had a lot of Purdue fandom at the house, and that really sort of you know, Elizabeth, who's not a huge sports fan but she likes it enough, said, I really, really like the tournament. Like, even if I'm not really into the game, it's just such a marker of time. Spring is here, and we love it, and we go out and we watch the tournament. And even if you're watching a game and I'm reading a book, it's just having it on in the background, it's just kind of a rite of passage. So that was awesome to hear. I love it. I love the tournament. I watched. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, you know, I went to Pittsburgh. I was so excited. I haven't been to the NCAA tournament in 5 or 6 years. And I was so excited. You know, I thought Kentucky would win the first, probably lose the second. That was fine. I was going to get two more games. But the tournament has a totally different vibe. It is not like the regular season. And when you get there and there's always multiple schools in the same building, there's regular fans, there's multiple bands. It's just a lot of fun. And when you walk in the building, it just has a different feel to it. And you know it's special.
Yep.
You know, it doesn't really matter. It's not that big a deal. You know, the rest of the world could care less. But it is such a fun event.
And I think that's where it's a second. We'll get to this in a second, is where Cal is wrong about saying the SEC tournament doesn't matter. Because I think that tournament, it's like, it's all that momentum, it's all that hype, it's everything that leads into that next week, because it kind of sets the stage of how you're gonna, it's like potentially gonna play. Now, some teams catch fire like in the tournament, like the first day, and continue on for the next 4 weeks. But that's where I disagree with Cal completely. It's like, why the SEC tournament or the conference tournaments are so important, because if you catch fire and you continue to play well, all that atmosphere, all that builds up like confidence in the team, and it shifts all the way through for the entire month, most of the time.
Yeah.
Well, the SEC tournament, especially for Kentucky, does matter, because when you're Kentucky and you're playing good at that SEC tournament, and you've got the road fans, not the Rupp Arena wine and cheese fans, but the fans like from Western Kentucky that show up to that thing, that has a totally different feel to it too. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, some of my favorite games I ever went to were in the Georgia Dome, Kentucky and Arkansas, ironically.
The back tornado in the 90s. Game.
Well, I wasn't at the tornado game, but even other than that, I mean, there was the Rod Rhodes game where he missed the free throw and we ended up having to go to overtime to beat Arkansas. I think it was 92, 93, somewhere around in there. I mean, I was on the front row right behind the Arkansas bench, loving every second of that, screaming at Nolan Richardson the whole game. I mean, fantastic memories of the SEC tournament. Like, there was some years back in the 90s that they actually expanded the Georgia Dome, where they put 40,000 people in there for those games. And it was all Kentucky. And that was a blast.
Yeah, the SEC tournament's awesome.
Cal ruined.
Yeah, the SEC tournament's awesome. My parents were at the tornado game, by the way. And you, Tommy, were at, just because I'm a stat nerd, you were at the only overtime game that Cal won. Not Cal, but Patino won while he was at Kentucky. He was 1-9 in overtime games at Kentucky. The only win was that Rod Rhodes game.
Yeah.
About that. So, I love the tournament. Like you said, the atmosphere is great when you're there. Even watching it on TV, it's high-level basketball. CBS does the best job with basketball of anybody. I know ESPN has more games, but CBS does it better. Their cameras seem better. Their sound is better. Iron Eagle is a national treasure. It's just a great, great entertainment piece, and I love it so much. Now, with that said,
CBS has a good 4-week run. So they have 4 weeks of the tournament, and then followed by, or 3 weeks of the tournament, basically, and then a fourth where it leads into the Masters. So you can ask for a better thing than that.
Yep, it's a good time. So, Tommy, you watched the whole tournament. Where does this UConn team rank for you in terms of best teams you've watched win a championship in your lifetime? Are they high up on that list? Are they low? I think this team's really good. And we saw last night that they have the highest point differential for any team to ever win the tournament. So where do they stack up for you?
I got them ranked number 2.
Okay. Behind?
96 Kentucky.
96 Kentucky. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
And I thought about it in terms of if those two teams played, you know, what would happen. And as good as this UConn team is, I think Kentucky wins. But I don't think we blow them out. I think it's a one or two possession game at the very end, but I'm going to take my man Tony Delk to hit a three in the corner.
Yeah.
So,
I can't argue with that. I think there are some other ones that could play. You know, I think 1990 Vegas was really good. I think 92 Duke was really good. 09 Carolina, awesome. But they're right there in that mix with all of those. And watching that game, don't you think the offense that they run is some of the best stuff you've watched? Creative, always moving. Like, they ran an early set. This is getting in the weeds. They ran a set where they ran a high post pick and roll with the center, and he dunks it. They come down a couple plays later. They run the same play, except they swing a man running parallel to him going to the corner, and you don't know who the ball's going to. Kicks it to the corner for a three. I mean, it's just brilliant offense.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing when you are a good coach and you can put sets in and people can execute it.
Yep.
You don't just roll the ball out there and say, well, we're more talented than we're going to win.
You just don't drop a play. You just say fight.
Right.
We're not bitter. It's fine. Don't worry about it. All right. With that, we're going to talk about it. This is the show we had to do this week. We didn't think we were going to be here, but the news broke Sunday afternoon. We're 48 hours past. We're going to do this show tonight. I'm going to do very little edits. I want to get it up so that it's fresh for anybody to listen to. We still don't know exactly what's going on. John Calipari, the rumors broke that he was going to go to Arkansas. Apparently, he flew there. He was in Phoenix Friday, I think, and flew to Arkansas, met with some folks, and made a deal to become the next Arkansas head coach. A lot of other stuff has happened. But what we know is he is likely going to Arkansas. We've not heard any rumors. We don't know who's coming to Kentucky. We don't know who's on the list for sure, because up until this afternoon, Cal had not informed the university that he was in talks with anybody else, which was a condition of his contract. And the university can't do anything in terms of reaching out to anyone until they know that that is happening. So with that, I'm going to just open up the floor. I'm going to give everybody a little chance to talk about how they feel about it and what they think this all means. So I'll start with you, Richard. I know you are the most passionate amongst us about this sometimes, so I'm going to let you have the floor first, and I'm going to let you go.
Well, I think it's, I mean, it's obviously disappointing. I mean, it's just like, as I've told you and I, the three of us have been texting probably for the past 4 weeks and maybe even longer, is like, how did it get to this point? I mean, it's just a, why did it get to this point? It's disappointing because it's like when Cal got hired 15 years ago, I thought a minimum he'd probably win three national championships. I mean, minimum maybe two. But it's just like I thought every 5 years he'd probably win one. And that didn't turn out to be the way it happened. There's a lot of reasons for that. But I think I think what I'm really upset about is we still don't know what's going on. There's a lot of rumors. There's a lot of like Matt Jones comments that there's a lot of juicy stuff that's going to come out, and that's starting to trickle out now. And it really looks like Cal did some, I mean, pretty shady stuff. And he basically went to Arkansas and said, hey, I'll be your coach. And then came right back to Kentucky and said, counter it. And that's part of negotiation. I'm in sales. I know how negotiation works, but I would be furious if I was Arkansas. Like, I understand that's part of the process, but I'd still be a little mad if I was Arkansas that you basically just used us for leverage to get another deal out of Kentucky. And
you weren't going to get a better deal than you already had.
I think my biggest problem, I agree with that. And his ego is just so gigantic that he thought he could get away with that. And God bless somebody with that big of an ego. But at the same time, as I think my frustration was, Mitch Barnhart basically stuck his neck out for Cal in front of the fans. And Cal turned around, like shook his head at that meeting, and then basically walked out the door and turned around and spit in Mitch Barnhart's face a week later. And it's Cal is, I mean, good luck, Arkansas. It's just like, just know what you're going to get. I mean, it's just like Cal did a lot of great things for this program. But the past 5 years has just left an awful bitter taste in, I think, my mouth. I think a lot of fans' mouth. It's just terrible. I mean, it's just all. And then the rumors that were he was starting to look in February. And I mean, just so many things, like so many, there's a lot of hearsay going on, especially what we saw with Tommy sent to us about PV and all that stuff late. I mean, there's just a lot of chaos going on. And it's, I'm surprised they're NCAA and looking at us for institutional issues, because if there's any institutional issues, that seems to be it. But I could be wrong on that. But anyway, that's my rant, is like he treated the fans like shit. He treated the university like shit, and he treated the media like shit. And that, and more importantly, he treated the boosters like shit. And by the end, and no man is on an island, like no man should be on an island like that. And if winning would have solved all those issues, and he can't even coach. So that's my rant.
Before I hand it to you, Tommy, I'll say this. I think Arkansas was going to let Cal do whatever he wanted to do in these negotiations, because they needed a splash, because they had already been turned down by Chris Beard, who got extended, and by our man Jerome Poon Tang. And they were negotiating with the coach at Arkansas Little Rock at this point when the Cal stuff started. So, like, what are you going to do? Like, you've got this chance. They were going to be in the same situation that Barnhart was in at Kentucky, where you're just going to let him do whatever he wants to do and not push back on it. So I'm not surprised by any of that at all for those reasons. Tommy, you have the floor.
All right. So the first thing I want to say is, 72 hours ago, would you have believed that the biggest winner in all of this was Mitch Barnhart?
Never, never.
Here's a guy, and I want to say this about Mitch Barnhart. He has done an amazing job as the athletic director at Kentucky. The guy has no personality. He's not really a people person. We all get that. But as an administrator of an athletic program, you cannot deny the fantastic job he's done at Kentucky. He took Agreed. The job. He said, we're going to be a top 20 program in the NCAA Cup, whatever that thing's called. And we all laughed. And we said, no, we're not. We're going to be a basketball school and everything else has sucked. And he was right. He's made everything better. We've won national championships and all kinds of other random sports because he invested in all those programs. So you got to give the guy the credit.
And I got a lot more respect after what we learned about how Cal basically came to, it's like, hey, counter them. And yeah, basically the athletic department said, no, either you leave and take the Arkansas deal, or you're in breach of contract and you're going to lose your money. So bravo to them. That's yeah. On that note. So I got a lot more respect for him after that too. So keep yeah. going, Tom.
I mean, the mistake he made, obviously, and we all know this, was the lifetime contract. And I understand why he did it. And I honestly think at that moment in time when he had to make the decision, he made the best decision he thought he had to make. In hindsight, we should have let Cal go to UCLA. Who cares? Because ever since that lifetime contract, Cal has not been the same. He just hasn't. And you can look at it and tell. I mean, you can't dispute it. The record speaks for itself. What Cal did was completely idiotic. He didn't want the Arkansas job. There is no way Cal woke up one morning and said, you know what? I have always wanted to live in Fayetteville, Arkansas. I love it there. It's beautiful.
Man, my Walmart stock is doing well. I can't wait to go down.
Right. Walmart and Tyson Chicken. I can't wait to be in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And I think what he did was, he was like, all right, Mitch and I just had this really awkward TV thing. We still hate each other. I'm going to go see if I can get this other deal. Because what he's mad about is the NIL stuff. And Mitch still hasn't totally warmed up to the NIL stuff. And I get it. You know, we got a thing today from UK, from the football team, wanting us, you know, to do their collective thing.
Yep.
It's not what the NCAA intended for name, image, and likeness. Everybody's just buying these kids. And I get it. And so Cal has the La Familia, which was a stupid idea to call it that. It totally bombs. Nobody puts in any money for that. He's totally destroyed his relationship with the boosters. None of them want to give money as long as he's the coach anymore. And now he's backed himself into a corner. And I honestly think he thought, I'm so popular, everybody so loves me so much, if I go and say I'm going to Arkansas, everybody will love me again, the money will come pouring back in, please stay, please stay, please stay, and I'll get what I want. Problem is, you can't do that when you haven't won an NCAA tournament game in 5 years, and you're 3 years removed from going 9-16. And we're all spent the last 2 weeks trying to figure out how to come up with $33 million for the buyout. So I do appreciate Cal for giving us this gift. He went and found a job that he didn't want. He tried to bluff us. We said, nope, good luck. Thanks for the memories. We don't owe you $33 million, and you get to spend the end of your career in Fayetteville, Arkansas, which is not the biggest show on earth, which is not the gold standard, which is not going to be on ESPN every week. You can't make Arkansas basketball on ESPN every week. It's not going to happen. So
it's Memphis all over again. I mean, he went back to – it's like – because that was his biggest – that was one reason it's just like he was so excited about Kentucky is because when he was at Memphis, nobody – it's like even how good those teams were, they could barely get on ESPN.
And listen – I totally appreciate Cal for the job that he did those first 10 years. When that, you know, the John Wall and then, you know, one class after another, and we're going to the Final Four every year and we're fun to watch. And, you know, he did leave at least two national championships on the table that he should have won. Honestly, how did, you know, the very first team, the John Wall team, a bad shooting night against West Virginia. That team should have won the national championship. The next year was the Brandon Knight team. That team had no business getting to the Final Four, and then they do, and blow it to UConn. The next year, Nerlens gets hurt. The next year, we go to Dallas. That team had no business getting there, and yet here they are playing for the national championship game. You know, and then the next year, we go undefeated and then blow it in the Final Four. You know, the Monk, Fox, Bam team, that team should have won a national championship. You know, tough draw in the Elite Eight to North Carolina. The 2019 team that lost to Auburn in the Elite Eight. I mean, we left several on the table. He did a fantastic job those first 10 years. The last five, he should have to give us the $8 million a year back. I mean, that's embarrassing for you to make that much money with the players that you've had and have that as your record. Nobody else would put up with that. And so for you to do this odd meeting interview on TV with Barnhart, where you basically look like you're both holding each other hostage and you neither one of you want to be there, and to come out and say, okay, we've got a plan, we're moving forward, and then 20 minutes later you're on the phone with Arkansas. I mean, that's the crap we used to always fuss at Pitino about. Mm-hmm. Pitino would say, oh, I've got the greatest job in college basketball. Oh, the Lakers are on the phone. Hold on a second. Let me take this. No, Kentucky. It's Camelot. It's everything that basketball is supposed to. Oh, the Celtics are on the phone. Hold on. Got to take this. You know, that's what we used to get upset with him about. So my overwhelming thought, though, is this is honestly best for us. This is honestly best for Arkansas. He's going to win a couple of games. He's going to come into Rupp, and that's going to be the one game where he puts it all together and he beats us, and we're all going to be mad. I already know that. But I would say that 5 years from now, if we look back at this, our record over 5 years is going to be better than his record over 5 years, and we're all going to be happier that he left.
So I totally agree with all of that. And I do think it seems like it was a bluff move, and I think you can bluff, but you can't do it when your athletic director already wants to get rid of you and your fans have already kind of turned on you. So it was just a strategic blunder from that standpoint.
That's the thing I think where he really messed up. He didn't understand how the fans had turned on him.
I agree. I totally agree.
I mean, you've known me for a long time. You know, I am one of the biggest UK basketball fans that there ever was. Cal was my guy. When Gillespie, all that was going on with Gillespie, and I kept telling everybody, Cal's the guy. And everybody's like, you're crazy. He's dirty. He's a cheater. Cal's the guy. Cal's the guy. And he was the guy. And when he lost me, and I realized that not only did he lose me, but he'd lost 60% of everybody like me, he had no choice but to go.
No, I totally agree. And he knows it. He put out a video today saying goodbye to Big Blue Nation, and you can just sort of see it on his face. Like, that's not a guy that looks energized to go on to the next chapter. Did you think that? Because he didn't look energized to me sitting there. He looked like it was he was getting ready to get a root canal.
It looked like a hostage video.
It did. It sure did.
It looked like something Al-Qaeda would put out.
Go check that out. It's on, you can go to at UK Coach Cal on Instagram. You can see the reel. It's worth watching because he doesn't look like an individual who is really excited about the next chapter. But he'll get there. He'll go to Arkansas. This is best for everybody. Tommy, you summed it up best. I can't say it any better than that. He had lost the boosters, like Richard said. He had lost the fans. We had been terrible over the last four or five seasons. We're going to be better.
I cannot wait for his introductory press conference at Arkansas.
Yeah.
When they make him call the Hogs.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be
Calipari in that fancy Italian suit calling the Hogs. And he is going to have a look on his face like, what the fuck have I gotten myself into?
Well, and I think you mentioned the suit. I think that's another thing that's going to change. He's been half-assing with his outfits since COVID, and I think he brings it back. I think he gets dressed. I think he's sharp. I think he gets it rolling at Arkansas, and I think
that's an important change. And I'll say this: he changed when he started wearing like sweatsuits, and like when he was dressed to the nines, like it looked like he really cared. And then all of a sudden, I understand COVID changed everything, but at the same time, as like his demeanor, like I think that's an important point. And it's a weird point is like his demeanor and everything changed when he stopped wearing suits. Like
I think the catalyst for that was that lifetime contract.
Yeah.
Because that's when it all changed. They can't fire me. I can do whatever I want.
Yep.
Mitch and I don't get along, but he can't fire me, so I can treat him like shit every day because there's nothing he can do about it but give me $50 million to go away.
Yep. All right. Well, I'm going to jump in here. I want to ask everybody what you think Cal's legacy is going to be. We've kind of hit on it, and this is what I'll say about that. It's we're bitter about the last 5 years, but Tommy hit on it. The first 10 were awesome, and it was a lot of fun, and we were the cool program. And, you know, we had John Wall and people like Magic Johnson were showing up and LeBron was showing up and Drake was showing up. And we were like USC football when Pete Carroll had it rolling. You know, we were that program. And that was as much fun as I've ever had with Kentucky basketball. And I, like Tommy, have been a fan since I was and Richard Bogue. We've all been fans since we were old enough to watch TV, basically. And that was the most fun 10-year stretch of basketball that I've ever had at Kentucky, to be honest. And that's what most of us will remember. In just a few years, there will be a jersey in the rafters with Cal's name on it, just like Tubby, just like Joe Hall. He's going to have a spot up there. We're going to boo him when he comes for the first game and probably every time he comes from Arkansas. But we're going to soften on that because all of us who are passionate about it really, really had a great time during that run. So, you know, when we think about Tubby, you know, we remember the championships. People still don't love Tubby some, but I don't remember the last couple of years. I know they weren't great, but I remember the championship. I remember those teams with Prince and Bogans and Chuck Hayes and making Elite Eights with Patrick Sparks draining that three against Michigan State. You know, great times. I think no coach that has left Kentucky has been universally loved. There are people. Joe Hall became Kentucky's grandfather for a long time, but there were still people who didn't like him as a coach. Same for Tubby, same for Cal, but we're all going to come back to center and really appreciate his legacy here by the time it's all said and done. I think probably when he left, before he went to Louisville, Pitino was the closest thing to a universally beloved coach as we had. And going to Louisville changed that for a lot of people, but still a lot of people love him. The other thing I'll say about Cal is, if we look at his legacy critically, college basketball changed over the last decade more with NIL, with one and dones, with the transfer portal. College basketball changed more during that decade than any other decade of college basketball, except for the decade where we saw the shot clock come in and the three-point line come in. That's the only other decade where you saw this much change in what college basketball actually is and what you have to do to win. And we watched the guy who was at the top of it at the beginning and who was so stubborn and refused to embrace and change a lot of the pieces of it. He would not go away from the one and dones. He would not recruit enough older guys, guys who might stay a year or two. He was in with NIL, but he had already lost his boosters at that point. So
I think mismanaged. It was mismanaged.
Yeah. So I think we saw a guy who was kind of older as all of this stuff was setting in and did not adapt as the college basketball landscape changed. Richard, how about you for his legacy?
I mean, I 100% agree that the first 10 years were amazing. I mean, it might have been a little bit shorter than that, but overall, the 10 years were incredible. I mean, it was fun. It was exciting. We were the high on the hog. I mean, everybody wanted to be here. I mean, like you said, we had stars. I remember Mike Tomlin showed up at a game, which was kind of random. And I mean, we had a lot of, I mean, it was just fun and it was exciting. And it was, Tubby Smith was consistent and that was good, but it was boring. And then the Billy Gillespie disaster came in and then Cal cleaned it up and righted the ship, so to speak. I agree with Tommy that John Wall's team should have won the national championship. There are a lot of teams that should have won the national championship and for this reason or that reason that we lost or something like that. But I think it'll eventually soften and I think it will soften for Cal. I think Cal's probably pretty bitter about it right now too. And his ego is like, well, I'll show them. Matt Jones wrote a big article about that. It's like how Cal, like in the last year was like, well, I'll show them my way is the right way. And I think that needed to taper a little bit. But I mean, I loved Cal's teams when they were on and they were playing well. And a buddy of mine, the best quote I heard is winning changes everything. And we haven't won for the past 5 years. And there's a lot of internal strife that it's just like, it's. I think the legacy is like, he did a great job for Kentucky when he was winning, but the past 5 years did a lot to, I think, his reputation as a coach. I think it's a lot to be said that a lot of big programs were not even touching him. But again, it's Cal, it's like what he did at Kentucky was pretty fun. And it's just like, it will be missed. And I'll be missed. It'll be sad to see that we're not in the top three of recruiting classes, depending on the coach. We might, yeah, that see, might not change.
All right, Tommy, go.
Yeah, I don't even care about that. Mm-mm. I want a coach that wants to be a college basketball coach and win games.
Yeah.
Period. I don't care about Drake showing up. I don't care about any of that stuff. I want you to find me 8 kids that you can put out on the floor every night that will play hard for the University of Kentucky and win games. That's it. And, you know, Tubby's name came up. How many times, Jim, over the last 10 years have I texted you during a game and said, I sure wish Tubby was here to draw up this next play?
100%. Or get a defensive stop.
Or get a defensive stop. Because that's the thing. Tubby is probably the most underappreciated coach we've ever had.
Totally agree. Because
we were down 5. It was 5 seconds to go. We have an out-of-bounds play with Tubby drawing it up. I was 99% sure we were going to score. With Cal, I was 99%. We probably wouldn't take the timeout. And if we did, we wouldn't even get a shot off with whatever.
We weren't going to get a good look, that's for sure.
That's for sure.
That was apparent.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. And listen, you know, I've coached kids for 10 years. And I had a girls' softball team 1 year that was completely dominant. It didn't matter who we played, we crushed. I had absolutely nothing to do with it. They did it. They were completely talented. And that's kind of the approach Cal took was, my kids are better than their kids. I'm just going to stay out of the way and let them do it. And that doesn't work anymore. You know, it's like we said with Hurley a few minutes ago. You got to have a scheme. You got to be able, when you need to run a play to get a basket, be able to run a play to get a basket. And that's what Cal never really did.
Yep. Totally agree. And, you know, we're not going to get into this, but part of the problem was some assistant coach departures through the years who were good at doing that sort of thing. But definitely what? Agree with that.
That's look, you know, we talked about this. The Lifetime contract and Robic leaving happened at the same time. Mm-hmm. And it's been all downhill from there.
Yep, for sure.
And, I mean, you guys know where my seats are at Rupp when I get to go. And when you're down there, you see and hear everything. And Robic was the one doing 99% of the coaching when he was down.
Yep.
It was.
Yep. All right. Now let's have some fun. We got to get a coach. We don't know who it's going to be. So let's play a little game here. Let's have a snake draft where you pick who you think will be the next coach. We'll go two or three rounds, maybe four. And as we go through it, we'll talk about good and bads. Just who do you think will be the next Kentucky coach? And so, Richard, I'll give you the honors on this. Who do you think will be the next Kentucky coach? You're muted.
Sorry, everybody. Muted. I think, I mean, I have to go with the obvious answer. It's just like, I think it's probably going to be Scott Drew. Is that right?
Yeah, Scott Drew.
Okay. And I think it's because him and Barnhart are friends. The only thing I worry about is his potential buyout, and they just built a brand new arena. I think it might be the Billy Donovan situation, where it's like we tried to get Billy Donovan from Florida, and then they built him it's like they gave him a nice new arena, and he couldn't, or named the floor after him, and he was never leaving. So I think I have to go with him.
I think that's most likely. I think that's a good number one pick. Tommy, what do you think of Scott Drew quickly before we go to next picks?
I think Scott Drew is I think he will be the guy. I'm 99% sure he will be the guy. But you ever been to Waco, Texas? It ain't going to be hard to pry a dude out of Waco, Texas.
No, I agree. No. The only reason he wouldn't come is if he is so comfortable there and does not want the pressure of Kentucky. But I think he's coming. I think he's right. Okay, Tommy, you get the second pick. If it's not Drew, who are you picking?
If it's not Drew, and my number one pick, and this is going to just run all over people, it's Bruce Pearl.
Hey.
I'm a huge Bruce Pearl fan. The dude can coach. He's fun. He understands the job. He wants the job. And this would piss my mother off to no end. I got a text.
My mom, too. My mother-in-law, they'd all be mad.
My
all
mom
the moms.
Sent me a text today at 4:30 that said, please tell me it's not going to be Bruce Pearl. And
I hope
just
you said yes,
yep.
It's going to be. Yep.
I said, absolutely, it's going to be Bruce Pearl.
All right.
She said, I'll never watch again. I said, I don't think anybody cares.
No, they're going to be fine.
CBS is shaking.
Yeah,
I'll take the next. So I'll take the third pick of the first round, first pick of second round. You can do these in either order. I'm going to take the other two dudes who I think are in the top tier of guys that Barnhart wants. And I think Drew is one of the guys. I'll go ahead and give Dan Hurley's name. I don't think he's leaving, but there's a dollar amount for everybody. And so I'll go ahead and put him down. And then
You know how I sometimes like to dig deep into the Twitterverse?
Yeah, yeah.
Deeper than anybody ever really should go, because you find the crazy shit. I mean, I saw something today that said Kentucky was – their opening offer to him was going to be $11 million.
I believe it. I was thinking somewhere around the 12 was probably going to be the number.
Well, that's what I told you guys yesterday. I said I think the first offer will be Danny Hurley, $12.5 million.
Yeah.
So, sorry to take your time.
No, you're good. You're good. I love it. That's what we're here for. I'm going to go pick number one of round two. The other guy is Billy Donovan. I'll go ahead and take him. I don't know if it would work or not work. I know that there are some time constraints with the NBA, but if he wants to get out of the NBA, there's a world where he takes the job and sets up his guys on the ground in Lexington to start working the portal and getting some dudes in there. So I'll go with Donovan with the first pick of the second round. Tommy, you have the second.
I'll say this on Billy Donovan. If the NBA season ends Sunday, if we knew right now that the Bulls were not making the playoffs, Billy Donovan would be the number one guy. Yeah, on the
I totally agree. Totally agree.
Yeah, I agree.
So I say that. So my number two pick, I'm going to go Chris Beard at Ole Miss.
Got a big buyout. Just turned down Arkansas. We're not Arkansas. I get that. But I like Beard as a pick. I don't know. I think this is where it starts to get tricky. Like this starts to get, you start getting some guys that you're not 100% sure about. But I like Beard and I like that pick.
He took Texas Tech to the championship game.
Yeah.
They should have won it. You know, and I get it. He's got the baggage of the assault with the ex-girlfriend or whatever that was. But as just a pure basketball coach, I really like Chris Beard.
I do too.
He's a college coach. That goes back to my underlying number one thing in my book. I want a guy that wants to be a college coach, that wants to get to Final Fours. That's it.
All right, Richard, your next pick.
One of those guys. This is kind of hard because it's just like a lot of the people we thought were going to possibly do this, like Jay Wright, for example, has already publicly said no. But again, $12.5 million brings out a lot of people out of the woodwork. And I'll say Jay Wright because $12.5 million would bring a lot of people to the door. So I don't think Jay Wright's coming. He's made it perfectly clear. He doesn't like it seems like he just got frustrated with the whole everything about college basketball. I think he got burned out. I think he got tired of it. But $12.5 million would definitely change your mind, in my opinion. But I could be wrong.
You just got him with the last pick of the second round. So I like it. I don't think he's coming either, but you can't leave him on the board. And because we're snake drafting, you get the next pick as well. First pick of the third.
Gotta
come back to back.
Cronin at UCLA. That got brought up today. He made some off comment that he would have to take a left on Sunset Boulevard, something weird like that. And everybody's like, what the hell does that mean? But he basically did not say no.
Okay.
I think
he did say no. I saw that interview. He did say no.
He did officially. It's just like the article I saw, it's like he never said no. But
no, he said the reason he was going left on Sunset was to meet some boosters at a hotel to watch the game.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I missed that little part about meeting the boosters. But I would probably say, again, money talks. And he is from the area. And he's at UCLA and he hasn't really done it. He had a good year at UCLA, but he hasn't really. It's like this year was just, maybe it's just a flat year, but I don't know.
All right. Everybody's in play at this point. Tommy, you have the next one.
I'm going with my man. I know he's a little old and it's a short term thing, but I'm taking Rick Pitino.
The Rickster. All right. So at this point, we're picking like kind of some crazy shit, right? Like, I'll pick the last one on this list. And this is not somebody that I want, but if Barnhart misses on Drew and Hurley and Donovan and Wright and Beard, and maybe he even calls Sean Miller. I don't know. But if he misses, and I don't think he'd miss on Sean Miller. If he wanted Sean Miller, he'd get him. But there's a world where I could see Mitch calling Mark Pope. There's a world where I could see that happening. I don't think it will. I don't want it to. But I watched him coach a couple of games this year, and I thought, man, if he could actually recruit athletes, I think that dude is good. But go ahead.
I actually sent Todd, a text probably 6 weeks ago that said, if Cal leaves this year, I don't think so. But in 2 or 3 years, Mark Pope will be the coach.
Yeah, I think he's I think he can do it.
He's an Elite Eight run away from being at a better program.
At a real job.
Coach, yeah. He's won everywhere he's been.
I agree.
With not that much talent.
Yep.
And Rick even said that. Patino put out a quote saying, hey, you know, you guys need to look at Mark Pope. I mean, I know that's not happening this time, but, you know, you bring in a guy like Patino or Pearl, that's going to be a 5 to 7 year thing because of their age. Well, at that point, Pope's a little bit older. He's got more experience. Say he does make a couple of runs to the Elite Eight at BYU. Then all of a sudden you're thinking, okay, he understands the job. But honestly, I think the floor on this thing is Bruce Pearl. I think he's probably sixth or seventh on the list, and it's not getting past him because if they call, Bruce Pearl is taking it before they even offer out of the mouth.
Yep, totally.
He has lobbied for this job for 10 years. And if they say, Bruce, here's your shot, he will say, Auburn, see ya, I'm out. And the thought of Kentucky with Bruce Pearl versus Cal with Arkansas, ESPN has got to be salivating.
It'd be amazing.
We're doing that game. Saturday night showcase. John Calipari comes back to Rupp Arena and Bruce Pearl sitting in his chair. That is what the TV networks would go crazy for.
Bruce Pearl sweating through his suit. It'd be awesome. Yep. All right. Well, that we're towards the end of it. So I appreciate you guys for coming on and doing it. This has been good therapy. That's what we'll call this episode, I think. Did you guys see the eclipse this week? Did you guys watch any of the eclipse? Did you see any action there?
No. The second it was sunny until it was time for the eclipse, the clouds rolled in for an hour. You couldn't see a thing. And then as soon as the eclipse was over, the clouds rolled out.
Mm. Richard, you?
I was actually in Lexington, believe it or not, and I was sitting in the Starbucks on Versailles Road right past Man of War, and it was kind of dark. It looked just extremely overcast.
Yeah.
And then what was weird about it was in Lexington, so when I would left Lexington, I had a meeting at the airport when I left. I was at that Starbucks when I left. All of a sudden, three A-10s, like Warthog aircraft, roll into Lexington Airport, and I was like, okay, that's kind of weird. And then I get home, and there's six Blackhawks landing in Louisville's airport. I was like, did I miss something here? It's like, did the apocalypse start World War III here? So that was a little weird, but I didn't get to see it, but because that was an hour east.
Yeah, it was cool. It was not totality in Louisville, but it was cool, and we were able. I work downtown, which just makes it a little bit harder to see the sun. And but we did some rotation. I let my coworkers go outside and watch a little bit. We go back and forth, so it was fun, really cool thing. So glad we got to do that and see that. So with that, you guys have anything else you want to get to tonight before we jump out of here?
No, it's gonna be an interesting 48-hour week for sure.
We'll know by Friday what it's gonna look like. We'll mention it next week, but we won't take up all the time. I know we have gone sports heavy, which my wife tells me she fast forwards through this part. So maybe you listen to this, maybe you don't. Maybe you just like middle-aged men in a therapy session. And if that's what you like, this is the episode for you. With that, I will thank
you. Cole, we're coming for you, Cole.
With that, I will thank everybody for listening. And I will tell you, Cole, we are coming for you. Richard, you are in charge of scheduling for this. Get your boy and let's figure out when we're going to do it. And we'll get that publicized so we can get that out for everybody and we can all enjoy that. And
I have to do it on a Saturday or Sunday to get his son.
Sure. Of course.
Gonna be involved. So,
Of course. Yeah, we can totally do that. We can do it live. We can do it via remote, however we do it. But we'll have a lot of fun with that. And we're going to inflict a little bit of pain and have a lot of fun. Tommy, Hitman, thank you as always. Your insightfulness is great. You are our man on the ground. Tommy has access to stuff we don't, and he has told us more than we can talk about on this podcast because of all the things, but we could not pass it up, and we couldn't have done this show without you, Tom. So I really appreciate you coming on.
Hey, anytime.
All right, man. Well, to all of our good friends out there, thanks for listening. We're going to catch you next week. We're going to get out of here. We're going to keep living our best mid lives. You keep living yours.
Thanks, guys.